Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, it's been a while since we had a guest on the program, and so today you felt it was time to have one.
That's right, Scott. But I'm not having a guest just for the sake of having a guest. I came across a fascinating little book. And after reading it, I wanted to interview its author.
So what's the book about?
Let me ask you this, Scott. What do you know about Beatles?
Well, their names are John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
You silly. I'm not talking about the Beatles, the musicians. I'm talking about Beatles, the insects.
Oh, well, I say you just about covered it. They're insects.
Well, there is a lot more to know about Beatles than that they're just insects. And so,
I'd like to introduce a special guest to the program, Ben. His name is Jeff Tischler. I would call him the Beatle guy. He's written this wonderful book, The Unfathomable Wondrous World of Things That Creepeth. And it's all about Beatles, but I'm not going to call you the Beatle guy. I'm going to let you describe what you do and where you live, Jeff. But first of all, let me just welcome you to the Scripture on Creation program.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Tell us where you live and what do you do for a living?
So Chicagoland area, that is the south suburb of Chicago. So it's a place called Alsip.
Okay.
Probably about 30 miles from downtown Chicago.
So now, right with your accent, I never would have guessed you're from Chicago.
Oh, good.
And what do you do for a living?
So I'm a full-time worker, somewhat different from some full-time workers in that I also am a tent maker. So like Paul, I also do secular work to supplement what I do with regard to full-time work. And what I mean by full-time work is that I try to devote a maximum amount of my time to doing things that would further the kingdom of God. My personal burden is for evangelism, so reaching lost souls.
Right.
And I find it actually with the job, it actually enhances it. It gets me around people. It keeps me humble and attuned, you know, feeling the same things they feel. So I really like the place the Lord's brought me.
Well, I bet you do a good job of integrating your relationship with the Lord into whatever you do, because who would think that you could talk about Beatles and work the gospel in over and over again? I really found that to be one of the reasons that the book was so fascinating, because it wasn't just about Beatles. It was about the concept of evolution not being able to explain some of the incredible features of Beatles that you described, and how obviously they were designed by our Creator. Your goal is to serve full-time the Lord in whatever capacity He has you working. And, you know, I sort of fit that same bill, Jeff, and so we're common brothers in that respect.
Amen.
So what originally piqued your interest in those little bugs?
It's first from the, you know, earliest I can remember as a young person, loved nature. And then at some point, and I can't necessarily pin it down, but, you know, I remember having some little, you know, leaflets or articles and reading some things on animals. One of the facts that I share in the book about a particular beetle being able to lift 850 times his own weight, that actually came originally from a flyer that's probably 30 or 40 years old, well, probably
okay.
At least 40 years old, something I had that was just stuck in some paperwork from when I was younger. But then as well, it's personal observation. I've always been somewhat a little intense looking at things. And even from a young age, I would look at an insect, you know, it could be a spider walking. And you look at those little legs and a little head and a little body. And then you understand there's joints there. There's a heart. There's a brain. You know, this is a living creature.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's blood pumping through there. It's thinking. It reproduces. It eats. It has a digestive system. But it's all, you know, in this compact little animal. And, you know, it's so complex, and yet we take it for granted.
Yeah, you don't really see it. You squash one without even thinking about it.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah,
that level of small with all the function. I mean, from even a young age, it struck me. You know, God used it to really, you know, grab some attention.
By the way, Jeff, you wouldn't know this about me. My major in college was zoology.
Oh,
so
that's
I should
fabulous.
Know all kinds of stuff about beetles, but you shared in that little book 10 times as much about beetles that I ever knew in college. So first of all, when we think about how important beetles are because of just their prevalence, tell us a little bit about where they fit in. The term is taxonomically to the animal kingdom. Give us some of those numbers that you put in this book.
The numbers are somewhat impressive. So look at the whole animal kingdom. In 75% of the animal kingdom are insects.
Okay.
Now, that's taking into consideration, I'm acknowledging that there's about 9,000 bird species, 4,000 mammal species, So 75% of that animal kingdom, insects, and then 75% of the insects, all beetles. And what that translates into mathematically, that's saying that 50% of the entire animal kingdom are beetles. There was a secular writer in a book I read, and he wrote, and again, secular, so he's not even acknowledging God, but he said, God must have loved the beetles greatly because he made so many.
Now, explain the difference between a beetle and a fly, because I know they're not the same order.
Excellent question. So, yeah, Coleoptera, which is the Greek name or the science name, which I'll define in a moment, but it comes from the fact that a beetle, like many insects, it has four wings, two pairs of wings, a forward and a rear set.
Okay.
The forward set of wings on a beetle are a hard case shell. That's where the name comes from, that Coleoptera means sheath wing or wing case.
Huh.
That's actually, you know, a protective case that protects those wings and gives the beetle its distinct look, but they're also fully functional wings.
They are. The hard part over the wings on a beetle, those fly too. I mean, they help the beetle fly?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Those are its forward wings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just so, God is such a God of variety, the various way that he's worked throughout the whole animal kingdom, and sometimes there's a little overlap or modification, but, you know, again, you know, so animals with four wings that are just maybe soft and pliable, but then he decides to put a hard shell like your cuticle on your fingernail, and it gives them tremendous protections, and for some of the ones that are like boring beetles and they're inside wood and different things, I mean, it does serve a purpose to give it a little extra measure of protections.
Okay, so now like a fly, by category or definition, a fly doesn't have that hard encased second set of wings.
Correct.
It just has two wings and they're soft.
Yeah, and like I say, some insects may have four wings, but they're all going to be soft. Yeah, and so the distinction that you asked about for the beetle is that hard shell. That's really what gives them the distinction.
Okay, and over 50% of all the animal species are beetles. But the question that I have then about these beetles is, you mentioned that beetles can live without man, but man could not live without beetles.
Now, yeah, that's correct.
You got to explain that.
You know, so looking at one feature, you know, some people consider them a little bit pesky. You know, they don't particularly care for bugs and different things.
Right.
But stop and think about it. Even the pesky ones, the ones we don't like, probably provide a meal for something else. I don't like mosquitoes, but a brown bat will eat 1,200 mosquitoes in an hour.
Okay.
So in other words, even the pesky ones are serving a purpose. Now, when you get down to why I say man couldn't live without the beetles, so one illustration suffices. You know, you go out in your front lawn, and a lot of people, they like to keep it, you know, looking good. But if your neighbor's dog comes over there and does his business, you find those burned-out spots. You know, you have yellow spots and different things.
Right.
Well, a similar thing would happen out on our, you know, in the grasslands throughout the continents, like in Africa, with the grasslands, if you allowed the dung droppings from animals to build up. It's not fertilizer. It's not fertilizer until it's been compost put into the ground. To get a vision or to lock on to how much dung is being dropped, just in one type of hoof stop, that would be the wildebeest. It's 4,000 tons of dung every single day. That's the wildebeest. And that translates into 8 million pounds per day. Now, if you left that laying out there, it would become a putrefying sewer. It would kill off all that grass.
Yeah.
Now all your hoof stock they couldn't eat. The hoof stock would die off. Now the beasts that are carnivores and eat the hoof stock, they wouldn't have anything to eat. I mean, literally, the whole mechanism would break down. Here you take God, has got such a sense of humor, he takes these little beetles, creates one class of beetles, the dung beetles, makes them so their whole life evolves around dung.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, their head, the way it's shaped, the feet, the way they're shaped, is all designed so they can craft and make a ball. They use the ball when they roll it, or, you know, roll it to a location if they want to put an egg in it for their babies. But they eat the stuff. They roll the stuff. I mean, everything they do is their whole life evolves around dung. And by burying the dung, eating the dung, moving it around, they keep it clean.
Wow.
Keep it livable. Who would have thought of such a thing? Little sanitation engineers, we don't even realize it. And everything would break down without them.
Yeah, so everybody thinks that, you know, animal feces is good fertilizer, but too much of any good thing is bad. And so the beetles keep it clean. They keep it down. That is hilarious. But it's crucial, like you said. So their role in the ecosystem, if they weren't performing the functions that God created them to do, I mean, literally everything would just break down and no life could really survive. Wow, that's
fascinating. Exactly right. People, we take this for granted. Every one of these pieces are very important. Obviously, mm-hmm. some pieces more important than others. They are crucial.
So another thing that you had pointed out was, for example, 1 million dung beetles. Now, that may seem like a lot, but I would think surely you could easily have a million dung beetles in, let's say, an acre of land, right?
Yeah, you know, they move in a swarm. Some dung beetles, you know, would be like the size of, like a dime or a penny. They're kind of small.
Oh, wow.
You got some really large ones. There's some large dung beetles that are the size of a golf ball. You know, so they range in size depending on where they're at, different colors. I mean, it's fabulous. But
all right, so you said a million dung beetles clean up after 50 full-grown zebras in, I couldn't believe this, in 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they really clean the place up.
So we're going to have to stop at this point in the interview. But Jeff and I discussed several other fascinating things about beetles that everyone will have to wait until next week to hear. But before we finish today, I want to let anyone who's interested know how they can get one of Jeff's books. You can find it on eBay by searching for the book's title, Things That Creepeth. Now, through eBay, the total cost will be about $10. But you can also get one by contacting Scripture on Creation by email. And what would the email address be, Scott?
Scripture@scriptureoncreation.org.
Correct. And I'll make them available for $4 plus whatever the postage costs. Now, I decided I would make these books available because I think this little book will make a wonderful gift to a child. It would make a great prize for something like a Sunday school activity or contest. And frankly, just about anyone interested in learning about a little thought about but fascinating category of God's creation will find it to be a blessing. So again, the book's title is Things That Creepeth by Jeff Tischler, and we're going to talk to him again next week to learn more about the amazing creatures that make up over half of all species of animals in God's creation, the Coleoptera, that is, the beetles. These creatures are indeed a wonderful part of nature's testimony to the Creator's wisdom, love of variety and diversity, and even, as Jeff pointed out, the Creator's sense of humor. You know, God created them on the sixth day and recorded it in Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and all the kinds of beetles, and then more beetles, and then even more beetles."
What?
Well, it doesn't actually say that. It says, "And every creeping thing that creeps on the ground after its kind." And then, do you know what it says, Scott?
"And God saw that it was good."
Exactly. "And God saw that it was good." And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.